I would have never in a thousand years thought I would ever be building a board game. But here I am. Like, that's what university is for at the end of the day. Like, testing the waters and, like, research just brings that to your doorstep.
Hi, I'm Madison.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Emily.
And we're your hosts of Office Hours.
What's Office Hours, Alex?
Good question, Emily. Office Hours is a monthly podcast produced by us, your peer research coaches, at the Huron University Library.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the third episode of Office Hours Student Spotlight. This will actually be our final episode before the summer break, but I promise we've got a great one for you. My name's Emily, and I'm a fourth-year English and Cultural Studies student here at Huron, and your host for today. We have a great student and my great friend joining us today, and her name is Faiza Gaby. Thank you for coming here, Faiza, and would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. My name is Faiza Gaby, and as Emily introduced me, I am in my fourth year doing an honors specialization in global development and a part of the CGS department, and I'm excited to be here with Emily. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Faiza. Thanks for joining us. So if we could just get started on how you ended up at Huron, can you explain a little bit how you decided on your major and your specialization specifically? And did you know what you wanted to do before you came to Huron?
That's a very good question. I think I always get this question from like people who come into the school and like are looking at, because I work as a student ambassador, so like people always ask me like, oh, how did you get into Huron? And like I give them like the short answer because I don't want to bore them, but I guess this is my chance to really elaborate on that answer. And I would say, like, coming into Huron, like, I had never really heard about Huron, to be honest. Like, I had heard of Western, but it was simply because when we were trying to look for universities, because I came from a school in Nigeria, and the plan originally was to go to England because I came from a British school. But then my mom was like, oh, like, let's explore Canada and see the options there. And I was like, oh, okay. And I had taken like some courses, a course in like research. It was called Global Perspectives. So we usually just did research and everything about like global problems and world issues. And something about me, I just want to always like help people in any way I know how. And I think that's something I was just always passionate about. And then I saw that Huron had like a center dedicated for like global studies compared to the other universities I had applied to. There was no like center actually for global studies. And then I was like, why not just, you know, take the shot? And I think it's been going well so far. And I took global development specifically because I think it's a broader like interdisciplinary course. And so I didn't want to like cage myself into something specific because I also didn't know exactly what in global development I wanted to do. So yeah, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Thank you so much. You said that your mom had talked about exploring Canada for schools. How'd you find out about Huron specifically?
Like I said, we actually hired like a consultant to help us like look for schools in Canada because that was something we were not familiar with. Like, none of my family members had ever come to Canada, and I don't really have family members here to like get recommendations on like what universities to come to. So we had to like start from scratch, and we just thought it would be easier to reach out to someone who was already in that sphere. And he like just like gave us like an Excel sheet of like different universities that matched our interests, like me and my siblings' interests. And then from there, like, Huron was one of those options. So that's how I heard about Huron.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much. So, Faiza, you said that you're doing global development. I was just wondering what kind of, throughout your 4 years, since you're almost set to graduate, congratulations, by the way, what kind of courses or research have you done through your specific specialization, and how's that kind of been for you throughout the years?
I think in my 4 years, like at first and first year, like everything was just, I just took like intro to global development. That was like my first and I think only CGS course I took. So it was like a stepping stone to deciding if that's actually what I wanted to do. And I knew like business or econ, because those were also two courses I took, were not my thing. Like, I'm not a numbers person. But I think it all like properly started like in my second year, like in terms of like research. I would usually just go with like things I'm comfortable with, like Nigeria, for example, because I'm Nigerian. So I know like even a bit about it, or even if I don't know anything at all about it, like it's something that I want to express in my research. And that's what global development or CGS gives you the freedom to like research whatever you want. And I always like just like to place my identity in my research. So be it like from my country or like the continent or my tribe or my religion and things like that. So I'd say like it's just a combination of different things. And I like to have like people also learn from the research that I'm doing. So even my professors who haven't really explored that side of the world, as they too are researchers, they could also learn from what I write in my research and my essays. And yeah, if you have any like specific questions about like specific research I've done, I don't mind.
Yeah, thank you so much. I feel like when you really put your personality and your identity into your work, and it can be really something that drives you, and I love that so much. So yeah, with that, can you maybe elaborate on one of the projects you've done kind of relating to your identity, or ways that you've kind of explored your identity through research?
I think I'll just speak about like the research I've done in my fourth year, since it's like more fresh off my mind. It was basically a course I did in first semester where we were looking at bicycling, which was very interesting. At first, I thought it was like an abstract metaphor that meant like something more than it actually was. But it was about bicycling. The course was taught by Dr. Franca, and how bicycling and bicycling path actually have a huge impact on how society is built and organized. And we looked at like how different societies are shaped by bicycling, like bicycling activist movements. And I think that was very, very interesting. At first, I didn't get it because I was like, what does bicycling have to do with global development? But like after obviously going to class, and like we would watch like movie, like short clips, like documentaries in class too, that would humanize what we're learning. And I chose to focus on like comparative analysis on how cycling has changed through a colonial versus a colony lens, if that makes sense. So I focused on Nigeria versus the UK, because the UK colonized Nigeria. And I aimed to show like how the perception of the cycling in Nigeria is seen as like something that is stigmatized, seen as something that is for the poor, while in the UK it's seen as something that is good. Like when you cycle, you're like having a good impact on the environment and things like that. So I think that was like a very interesting like segue to go into. And also it was one of the projects that I presented at the Curl exhibition this semester. And yeah, and Dr. Franca found it like very interesting too, because he has been researching about bicycling, like that's his new fixation right now. And he told me that he never really explored like cycling in that part of the world. So I'm happy to have brought that into conversation and brought that into his view.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's not really something that I would have thought about researching, you know, bicycling generally, especially in a classroom context where you're able to explore so many different people's perspectives and how that kind of shapes what they research. So you mentioned the Curl Conference as well that happened this semester. Do you mind just letting everyone know kind of what the Curl Conference is about and your kind of work in it throughout the years, including this semester?
Yeah, I think this was the first year I had ever been a part of Curl and the exhibitions. I was a part of it this semester, yeah, both times. And the Curl exhibition is basically like a space where like undergraduate research is like celebrated and showcased, where people who have been recognized to do like exceptionally well in research are giving a space to explain their research and also like raise awareness on what they're researching. So some people actually do like carry out the research in like real time and things like that. But mine was like, it was a combination of both like gathering information from what is already online and also like involving myself in the community. So one out of the two of the research I presented at the Curl exhibition was in collaboration with community here in London, CCLC, which is the Cross-Cultural Learning Centre for Newcomer Youth. So they are responsible for taking in newcomer youth that come to Canada who are registered as refugees or displaced persons, and they help them like integrate themselves into the Canadian life and Canadian lifestyle. So this class was like an experiential learning class with Dr. Masaja, and we actually like took part in being around them and like looking at what they might need. So what this course wanted us to achieve at the end of the day was to create tools for the newcomer youth to further facilitate their integration into the Canadian life. So my partner and I, Aina, we decided to take the approach of mental health. I think mental health is something that is very like essential to everyone's life, even though like they might not be aware, or in their household it might be something that is seen as taboo because they come from like different cultures, different backgrounds, and where like mental health is not necessarily like their priority, and some of them don't even know like that's something that should be taken care of or discussed. So we decided to take the approach of mental health, and at first we wanted to do like a journal, and then we realized like calculating on how many, like we had to like figure out how many pages the journal had to be and how to make it like digitalized or like different, put in like different interactive elements to it. And it, I think with the span of time that we had, it was just too ambitious for us. So we decided to like narrow it down to like just a board game. So we created a board game which had like several different questions, and it was like inspired by Ludo and one of Aina's. So Aina is Japanese, so she added her own like Japanese game element into it. So we just brought those two ideas into play, and we ended up creating like a board game surrounding mental health, which made it like easy for them, but not too complicated so that they get overwhelmed by their emotions. So this game, we decided to divide it into different questions. So like a get to know you question, a scenario based question, a like draw how you feel question, because most of them, English isn't their first language. So we added like that element in case, you know, like just to give them an opportunity to draw whatever they feel if the words aren't enough. And we just wanted this game to be something that they could play amongst themselves, get to know each other, but also like be aware of mental health. And the game too comes with a resource list, which has like resources of like different mental health helplines and different websites that they can go to for references when they're dealing with anxiety and just different things that they may need. And also, while doing this research, we know we're not experts, so we had to collaborate with the ones who knew. And it was Mind Your Mind who we met through, because we went for like a convention for the newcomer youth, which had like different organizations who help it, like with newcomer youth coming into Canada. So they're an organization who specifically help with mental health, and they deal with things like this. Like they already have games on their websites and things like that. So we contacted someone who was in the organization to help like vet the questions and just to make it like culturally appropriate and like not too hard for them and not too, you know, complicated for them to understand and take in. So that really helped a lot. But yeah, we also made like an Arabic and English version of the game because we realized like it needs to be in more than one language if like most of them don't understand English or English isn't their first language. And we we knew that we it wasn't possible to like translate it in all the languages that the people were from. So we decided to just pick one that was like most of the newcomer youth came from like Arabic speaking countries. That's what we noticed. So we decided to just make an English and Arabic version of the game. So just to close it off, the reason why I explained all this is just to show that my research wasn't just based solely on like research that is already out there or like online, but like a combination of like in-person and like interactive research, even though it might not have looked like it in the moment. And yeah, those are the type of things that the CURL exhibition gives you the opportunity to present, those unique research techniques and your results to the research.
That's incredible. Thank you so much. I like what you said about research being more than just kind of taking from previous sources or just drawing on research that's already been done and kind of building your own take on it, but rather it being more interactive, having community consultation and presenting those kinds of findings to kind of not only make research more accessible, but show other people in the community that research is so interdisciplinary. It's such a broad kind of, there's such a broad range of things you can do with it. So I had two questions. So for the game, it sounds like such an interesting kind of way to present concept of mental health, and also, like you said, like break it down and make it easier for people to understand, to comprehend, and to make it emotionally easier on people as well. So I was wondering, is there a way to win this game? Or is it just kind of a way to get to learn more about each other and yourself? And then also at the conference, did you kind of present the game like through a presentation, like through a slideshow, or through physical cards? Or how did you kind of present that to the community, and how did that go for you?
Great questions. I think for the game, we kept the fact that we're working with youth in mind. The youth get bored very fast, and that's what we noticed. I mean, I still consider myself a youth. And I just put them in my shoes and thought, okay, like, how do we make this game like winnable, like give like a competitive spirit to it so that they don't get bored easily and actually play the game. So we decided to take inspiration from Ludo. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Ludo, but it's like a game where you have to go round the board and the first person to enter home wins the game. So we implemented that design into our game, and we also added challenge boxes where if you get on the challenge box, you have, like, let's say I roll like a one, you look at the, there's also like an instructions page that the game comes with. So if I roll a one, I look at the instructions, it tells me play rock, paper, scissors with the person next to you. If you lose, you go like back three spaces. If you win, you get another roll of the die. So we added like elements like that that would keep the game like competitive and fun, but also like give them a chance to answer the questions on the game board. Yeah, and I think that concludes my answer to the first question you asked. Could you please just like remind me what the second one was?
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much. I feel like that's such a comprehensive and rounded way to kind of go about it, because you're not only thinking about the technical aspects and teaching youth about their mental health, but you're actually kind of involving them in the process, and you're not making it feel like they're kind of being taught a lesson, but they're learning actively like with each other, and you're also taking lessons from them and look thinking about how they learn best, which I think is a really good approach. So that's amazing. My second question was just about the CURL conference and how you kind of presented this research and this game. Did you have like a physical cards, a physical board game to present, or did you digitalize it? How did you kind of present it, and how did that go with the community?
Yeah, so we actually presented as a whole class. So each person, we teamed up in teams of two. Some people like did individual things, but we all like produced a tool. So Aina and I, we produced a tool for mental health. Manuela and Faustina produced a tool for like people who are looking at like different resources when it comes to like education and like things to do with like IELTS tests and things like that. And Isaac and Lutfullah made like the website where all these tools were going to be put in, so that it's all in one location, because they found that newcomer youth didn't have like one central place to get the different information from. So that was like the foundation to where the tools were going to be. So we just presented it in terms of a class, and we presented the website, which had all the tools digitalized in one place. And we also had like physical versions at like the back on a table, both the English and the Arabic versions with the instructions page. And we literally just, it was like a, what do you call it? It was like a, where you sit on the couch and then we all just talked.
What do you like call? A round table, but yeah. But on a couch.
Exactly. Exactly. So it was just like that. So we just had like maybe like 3 minutes each to like give us like a yap about like what the game was all about. And we focused on like talking about the objectives, because I think that was like the most important thing that we wanted people to understand. And then we also printed out the physical version of the game with like the game pieces and everything on display, so people could look at it. And also with the instructions page, which also had like a QR code to the website and our resource list that we produced.
That sounds awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. I just have one more question about this, since it's such an interesting project, and I feel like it's such a collaborative effort as well between your classmates, which I think is amazing, and it also teaches you a lot of kind of practical skills. Did you get any kind of feedback about how the game was for youth, or have you heard anything about them playing it, and what was the kind of conclusion of, like, or the results of that, if you don't mind sharing that?
Thank you for asking that. I think it's very important to like get feedback for the people who you made the game for, because that's essentially who are going to be using it. And we did present it to CCLC, like the people at CCLC. We unfortunately couldn't like see the youth actually play the game, but we presented it to CCLC and like the different people who worked at CCLC at different levels. So we were like in a room, like in their boardroom, like with like so many people. And we had to present our game, and we passed it around, and we got like really good feedback. And it was, I would say, not to gas myself up, but near perfect. that Maheen, who's like the head of CCLC, even asked for like 5 more copies so that the youth in like different organizations could use it for. So I guess like that would say like it was a success, and they saw like potential in the game. And I'm just happy to have given back to me, like speaking on behalf of Aina and I, to have given back to a community that like helps newcomer youth, because I would consider myself a newcomer youth, but also like obviously on different circumstances. But I think that shared like feeling of like having guidance through like coming to like a country like you've never been before. Yeah, so it just fills me with like joy that I've given that to like youth who can use it and actually help them. And we also like submitted editable versions of the game, so that like the next cohort of the class can come in and edit maybe the languages or like the questions, maybe if they are like outdated, like the resource list too. So we made that sure that it could be editable by the next cohort of the class or CCLC themselves or any organization that ends up using it. So it's very flexible in that way. But yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. You started like a generational game that I hope will continue. And
I hope so too.
Yeah, hopefully people can build on it. And yeah, I'm so glad that you got nice feedback as well. And you're hopefully able to, if not see it through the youth, you can at least know that, you know, you put your best effort in. And Hopefully it'll just keep getting better and better with people building onto it.
Exactly. Yeah. And the fact that I would have never in a thousand years thought I would ever be building a board game. But here I am. Like, that's what university is for at the end of the day, like testing the waters, and like research just brings that to your doorstep.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's something I love about research too. Yeah. There's really no limits to it,
honestly,
which I love. Yeah, so speaking of kind of the university experience and how that kind of goes with everything that you've been doing with all your impressive work and your classes and social life, how do you seem to find a balance to everything? Like, how does it work with, you know, friends and your own mental health and your schoolwork? How do you think, I know that's a big question for any student, but how do you think balancing that has been for you?
I think it's something I continue to learn every day. But I just try to have like my little, you know, downtime, like self-care time. Maybe if it's like a skincare routine every night, or like something to just look forward to at the end of the day, dessert after dinner, just the small things. It's the small things that really matter. And I like to just, I'm not a procrastinator. I think that's one thing about me. And I like to just get things done and get it out of the way so that I can chill. I love my chill time. So I think that's one thing that helps me. And as soon as I feel like stressed, like there's nothing, no work is going to get done if I'm stressed. So I just leave it, take a nap or listen to music or like hang out with my friends. And I'm a big foodie too, so I like to eat.
Me too.
I like to eat. So yeah, essentially it's just the little things and the fact that it's going to pass. Like, no matter how stressed I feel in the moment, I know that I will still get it done, and I still have to get it done in order to get the grades. And it will pass. And I think I will look back, like, at my past self and be like, yeah, like, I did that. Like, and be proud of what I've achieved. And yeah, I just try not to overwhelm and overwork myself. I think that's the key.
Yeah, that's so true. And I'm glad that you kind of have those practices that I'm sure you've built up over time, because I know that when you first go to university, it's very different from high school, as I'm sure you can relate. So there's so many new things to learn, and I'm glad that you're able to kind of hold on to these little.
Yeah. And I think like being at Huron too, like the community is just like really small and like also helpful. Like the professors are so, so helpful. Like, not in terms of like just like accepting late assignments but like just being there, like guiding you through the work that is given, like just always just ask for help, like, and they're always there to help you. And like even the library services too, like Ryan has been so much help. I'm surprised he's not tired of me. But yeah, like the services at Huron like give you the opportunity to not get too overwhelmed. Like, they know, they've been through what you're going through. So it's just asking for the help that is the most important thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I feel like the more you're kind of at a small school like Huron, you really know the kind of resources that are around you. And I think people knowing you and you knowing them and
yeah,
actually getting to know people one-on-one really helps.
Yeah.
And yeah, I feel like the staff and the professors really make it
definitely
make it better. Shout out to Patrick and Ryan and all the professors and everyone else. Thank you so much, Faiza, for all your amazing and insightful answers so far, and honest too, because it can be overwhelming, it can be scary, and finding these kind of things to do to make yourself feel better and knowing the community you have around you, I think, is so important. Going back to the Curl conference a little bit, I heard that something else exciting happened to you on that day. Do you mind sharing that news that you got on the day of the Curl conference?
Yeah, so I think this has been my biggest achievement. Like, I would have never thought to be... So I was published on the Liberated Arts Journal.
Congratulations!
Thank you. Like, how honestly, it's been like my biggest achievement here at university. And what was published was basically a story map on like the Libya and Italy migration route, and how technology is used as like a dual sword and how it's used as a way for the refugees crossing that migration route as a way to enact that agency. And also it's used as a sense of control in the Italian side and surveillance, and how that dualness of technology is shown through a story map. So it's like basically an interactive map. You guys check it out. It's so cool. I'm so proud of it. It's like an interactive map with like sounds and like spatial mapping to show like the journey through the refugees' eyes. And it's also based on actual refugee experiences that I found online, but I just humanized the experience, if that makes sense. Because we always see like refugees on TV or like, you know, the figures, or when it comes to like policy debates and things like that, but we never rarely, like we see on documentaries, but like I think it's different when it's shown through a story map. I don't know how to how much further to expand on that. You get it when you see it. And I think it was just important to me to like show that journey, to like make you go through that journey with them and like really understand how, you know, it is a reality for people. But yeah, that's my, yeah.
Yeah, congratulations. That sounds amazing. And
thank you.
Also such an interesting kind of like mixed media to have on Liberated Arts, because yeah. I know it's a lot of like academic journals.
Yeah, also to add, it's like one of the first to ever be on Liberated Arts.
So you're making history. That's so awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. I had just a couple questions about the project specifically. You said you were talking about Libya and Italy and migration. How did you kind of think about or come up with this topic? Like, did it come from a course, or where was the kind of inspiration from that, and what did you draw from?
Yeah, so it basically came from my fourth year course, my seminar course. We were looking at place and movement, and we were looking like at how borders aren't just like just physical lines on a map. They're more than that. They can be embodied, they can be digitalized, they can be, you know, like contested in a way. And it was something I had never thought about. So shout out to Dr. Masaja for teaching that course. But yes, it was a course that just made us think about how borders can be seen as more than just boundaries and just physical actual lines, but as something that we contest with in our everyday lives. Like in your house, there are borders, like walls, like even like borders within ourselves and how we communicate with people and things like that. So it was very interesting to explore. And I chose the digital border. It was like one of the hardest to actually portray on the story map, because it's more like it's something that is not really considered humanized. And I chose it just because, one, because no one else really, like there's not really literature about, there is literature about it, but like not in the way that I've presented it. So I also wanted to do something different. And yeah, so in the course, everyone had to do a story map. So it wasn't just like I woke up one day and said, oh, I'm going to do a story map. But yeah, though, everyone had to do a story map. And it was on ArcGIS, which I had never used. And shout out to Ryan and Patrick again for helping us navigate that tool. But yeah, like all the maps and stuff, we had to like draw it by ourselves and things like that. So it was an experience for sure.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It sounds like a test of like your, you know, technology dealing with a website or,
yeah,
a, you know, software you haven't dealt with before.
Yeah.
Drawing, like, you know, your artistic skills and everything.
Barely.
I'm sure you did great. It sounds amazing. And we'll definitely link the story map below in the resources so everyone can look at it, of course. And Yeah, thank you so much for this segment and for talking about this kind of portion of your research.
Thank you.
We're just going to go into some rapid fire and general interest questions.
Okay.
A little fun way to wrap up the episode.
Let's go.
Let's go. So, first one, in true Western campus fashion, if you go to Western or Huron, you know about the spoke.
Yes.
The cafe or the kitchen.
Yeah.
Do you have a go-to order there, or what do you like at the spoke if you have been there?
I like the... Okay, I haven't been in a minute, but I like the jalapeno cheddar bagel with cream cheese, salmon, and yeah, I just like my bagels plain. But if I'm feeling healthy, I'll add like like onions. But yeah, that's the
yeah. That sounds good. I love that one too. Another one is, what's your favorite animal or insect? We've been asking every guest this question.
Insects. I don't like insects.
What's your favorite animal then?
But animals, I'd say I'm caught between cats and dogs. It depends on my mood. Because we have both back home. So when I'm feeling more energetic, dogs is where I like lean towards. But if I'm feeling more like, you know, just chill vibes, I go with cats.
Yeah, I love cats so much. Even
insects, not my thing.
I'm more of an energetic person, but I love cats so much. And which semester do you prefer, fall or winter, and why?
I think beginning of fall, before the sun decides to do its thing and the daylight savings thing, I'm still not used to. But I would say beginning of fall, just before the winter sets in, and then winter, like at the end, when it's springtime. But that middle part where it's like really snowy and wintery, I hate it, because I came from somewhere that is like like 30 degrees all year round. So coming to here where it gets to like negative 16 is something I'm still not used to.
Yeah, exactly. I like the in-between seasons too. Yeah. I don't like the winter.
The warmer days.
Yeah, it's gotten too much. And one more question. You said that you sometimes like to unwind to music when you are studying or when you're stressed. What kind of music do you listen to?
Yeah, so I listen to like Afrobeats, obviously. I have to rep home.
Yes.
But I also listen to like R&B, like Drake.
Mm-hmm.
I love Drake. And like SZA. And I just have like different, it depends on my mood too. Like if I want something more like, you know, to get me moving, I'll listen to like Afrobeats. If I want something to like just chill, R&B. And I've also like been listening to like Arabic music too, which has been a jam. So it depends on the mood I'm in.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for being our final guest.
Thank you.
On Office Hours. And I hope you enjoyed your time.
I did. Thank you so much. This was amazing. Like my debut podcast. Yeah, thank you so much. You've been such an amazing interview.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Well, I feel closer to you.
Yeah.
That was so much fun.
No, it was fun.